which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is dying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Yorick!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
So,
what's up?
Have you seen Deadpool? Did you see Deadpool yet?
No.
It's good, man.
Yeah, everyone's telling me that.
I finally saw it on Friday. Friday? Yeah. No, not Friday. It couldn't have been Friday. Maybe it was Friday. I think it was Friday. Rachel had a high school show that she was the choreographer for, that she was at. And I wasn't going until Saturday. So I was like, what am I going to do with my time? I said, you know, I'm going to go finally see Deadpool. It's good. It wasn't like, it didn't blow me away. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, some people acted like that.
Because it is very much like a Deadpool comic. It didn't like... Like, I really liked like Guardians of the Galaxy because I didn't know what I was, like, getting into. Because I hadn't... I wasn't familiar with them.
Right.
So
right. There, yeah, I think most people weren't either.
You know, like, there was no surprise there, so it kind of, like... I was like, oh, this is really fun stuff. Deadpool, I kind of knew what I was getting into. I still thoroughly enjoyed it, though. It was very good. I think it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah. I would like to go see it. I was actually going to the other day, but the times just didn't really work out.
Mm.
But that's all right.
There's the action scenes are like a comic book John Wick.
Okay.
Which we just talked about for the first time the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just saw it for the first time the other day.
So, you like it?
Yeah, I really liked it. It had a real, it had kind of a history of violence feeling to it, I thought. Where it's like the guy, you know.
Like with Ed Norton?
No.
Oh,
history
no.
X.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Vigo.
Vigo. Yeah. Where he fucks Maria Bello on the stairs. Which I would too. But
oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's like in her 50s almost and I still would.
Yeah, she was good looking in that movie.
Oh, no, she was. I'm just saying like she's 48.
But so yeah, she was in her 30s when the movie came out.
Well, that was...
I bet it was still 10 years ago.
11, yeah, she was 37. Yeah, no, in that movie, I definitely would. I would today, though. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen her lately.
Assuming I wasn't married, but,
Oh, come off it.
I'm just saying, I gotta cover my butt here.
Yeah.
Also, she was in a... Random fact about her. She was in a movie, or I'm sorry, in a TV series called Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I think the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie movie was based on.
Okay.
With Scott Bakula.
When was that?
96?
I thought Mr. and Mrs. Smith was, like, really old. Was there, like, a really, an older version?
There was, like, so, hang on. It was executive produced, Oh, the pilot episode marked the acting debut of Timothy Oliphant.
Oliphant.
Who played Mr. Smith's original partner.
Right.
He's good. I like him.
I like Timothy Oliphant.
He's excellent in Justified. There was a Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but I don't think it was like it wasn't the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, like way back, like in like the 60s or something.
Yeah, here, let's look at the film here. Let's look at the notes and shit here. The background. Reception, home media adaptation, sequels. No, it doesn't really. Because here's the thing, like, I think Mr. and Mrs. Smith, an older movie, exists. Mm-hmm. But it's a very different concept. 1941 film, here we go. It was a 1941 screwball comedy directed by Alfred Hitchcock, written by Norman Crisana, and starring Carol Lombard and Robert Montgomery. Let's see. They don't do like a quick plot synopsis here. Let's just sit here. Anne and David Smith are a married couple living in New York who, though happy, often have fights that last for days before they lovingly reconcile. That means fuck.
Yep. They lovingly reconcile.
They lovingly reconcile.
Yeah, I've done that.
They fuck two, 3 times. Doggy style. That's what they do.
Yeah.
One morning, Anne asks David, if he had to do it over again, would he marry her? To her disappointment, although he is very happy with her now and won't marry someone else, he answers that he would not. Later that day, Harry Deaver, an Idaho County official, informs David that due to a jurisdictional mishap, their 3-year-old marriage... Wait, they get to 3 years? That's the point there, 3 years later. And
where they realize the...
Yeah, 3 years into their marriage, she's like, would you do it again, David? And he's like, fuck no.
Wow. Huh.
I'm about to be 2 years into my marriage. I am nowhere close to that point of being like, would you do it again? Fuck no.
Well, I bet some people are, though. Oh.
Some people are, but it's like, it's been bad from the start. And I feel like this is the type of movie where they're going to find out that they should they still really love each other. So, I feel like it's not, like, the right setup. Like, the type of people that are like, would you do it again? Fuck no. Are the people that got married at 18 because she was 3 months pregnant.
Right, right.
Their marriage from... Their 3-year-old marriage license from Idaho was not valid. Who gets married in Idaho? Since Deaver is a family acquaintance of Anne's from Idaho, he stops by their appointment to tell Anne and her mother the same thing. Anne does not mention this to David and thinks he will remarry her that very night. As he just invited her out to a romantic dinner at the fancy restaurant they ate at before they were married. When they arrive at the restaurant, however, they realize that the restaurant has turned into a seedy joint and they head home. When Anne feels she has given David long enough to propose and leave to get married, she confronts him and accuses him of not wanting to marry her again. While David protests and says he was going to ask her shortly, Anne dismisses that and kicks him out of their apartment. Okay, so I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's like a hoss's long.
Yeah.
But the point is, this is not the same as the Mr. and Smith TV series that Maria Bello was in with Scott Bakula that was about they were spies together.
Okay, all right. And that's what the Angelina and Brad was.
No.
Yeah, weren't they spies?
They were both like assassins or something. And like mercenaries,
might be splitting hairs here.
Well, no, because the thing is, the TV show, as I recall, was they were like spies or agents posing as a couple, but they didn't trust each other.
Right.
This one, the Angelina and Brad movie, the Brangelina movie, the Brangelina movie. Is one where they're like assassins or something.
Oh, weren't they contracted to kill each other?
Yeah, they both marry each other not knowing about it. In the TV series, they knew that the other one, two spies are recruited by an intelligence agency. They pose as a married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, when they are on their missions, is the TV series. This one, the movie, they don't know, and then they end up being on the same mission, and they realize it, and then everything goes to hell, and then I think they're assigned to kill each other. Right, and then they decide to go up against, like, the agencies that they, like, work for or whatever, or the CIA or whatever the fuck it is, and they fight it out in an IKEA or some shit like that. I don't know what the fuck.
You say they fight it out in an IKEA?
Something like that. It's got, like, bedding, kitchen knives, and but I think it also has, like, power tools and stuff. I don't know what it is. Like a Sam's Club, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I didn't actually see it. I just kind of thought I knew the plot.
It's a decent movie. John Wick, which we were actually talking about, is a much better movie, though.
Right.
That movie's good.
Yeah. It's a nice little picture.
It's the best action, like, straight up action movie I've seen in a while.
Yeah. I would agree to that.
Mad Max is a good action movie, but it's got, like, a sci-fi, like, post-apocalyptic, like, element or whatever. Like, John Wick's, like, one man versus fuck all you guys, I'm gonna kill you all right now, kind of like
a language.
I'm sorry. F you guys. I'm gonna K you all. Kind of Die Hard style, Death Wish kind of, like, kind of style thing, you know?
it was cool, and I'm trying to... You know who actually had a cool little pod in it? John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Surprisingly not that annoying.
No, he had a very good part where he punches the kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The fucking Game of Thrones kid.
The jerk-off, yeah.
And that kid. Yeah, and I love the part where the guy, the Russian guy, calls him and is like, "You hit my son." And he's like, "Yeah, because he stole John Wick's car." And yeah. He just, like, hangs up.
Yeah, yeah, because he knows. Yeah, I love, he's just like, ugh.
Yeah, he's just like, ah, fuck. And he hung right up. I also like the part where he calls John Wick on, like, a secret phone from the 1980s. Yeah. And he talks to John, and John just hangs up on him.
Yeah.
And the guy goes...
Like, what did he say? He's like, enough.
Yeah, enough.
Yeah, shit. Fucking mayhem there.
Yeah.
Whatever his real name is.
He loves fucking headshotting people. Like, not only is he really good at it, but he goes out of his way to do it.
It's awesome.
He shoots people, like, 3 times in the chest...
Mm-hmm.
And then stands over their body and shoots them in the head just to make sure.
No, it's like it's like he's making a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like his performance art. He's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm sorry, F you. I'm going to shoot you in the head. I'm going to shoot you 3 times in the chest, which you will probably not survive from, because one is straight through the heart, because I'm that good. And then I'm also just going to shoot you in the head. And then he holds, like, people's heads down just to shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
Towards the end, he hits the one guy with the car and then drives up next to the body just to shoot him in the head.
Yep. Yeah. How would you feel about the ending? I'm not even talking about the ending. Like, I mean, like, the final, like, fight with him and the Russian guy.
I liked it. See, here's the thing. So I hadn't watched it in a while, and every time I watched it a bunch of times when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hadn't watched it in a while, and I was watching it again, and I was expecting, spoiler alert, but I thought he was going to kill the guy. I always remembered him killing the guy. But I guess he technically doesn't.
They kind of leave it.
They kind of leave it open.
Yeah, but I think they kind of have you assume that he's dead. I mean, he looks pretty dead. He's not dead the last you, like, see him, like, up close. But, like, John Wick walks away. There's no one around. Like, I think your assumption is that he is dead.
There's a chance he could still be alive, but, like, I think the assumption is supposed to be that he's dead. And I think that's why I always thought that.
Right.
But this time watching it, I was like, oh, I guess he could actually be alive. Because my impression is that he always gets stabbed right in the neck. And, like, he's, like, real close to bleeding out. But at the same time, it's very, like, the world that they live in is very business.
Mm.
And it's like, it's kind of like they finish a business transaction and they're kind of like, well, we got like this shit out of our system, so I'll just see you later. Like, we're good now.
Yeah.
Like John Wick got like the aggression out of his system. This guy's gotten the aggression out of John Wick killing his son out of his system. Like, they're kind of good now. Like, it's almost like a weird business transaction.
Like, you're almost saying, like, if they were both to survive that they'd be like, okay, like, I got what I needed out of it.
Yeah, like, they wouldn't really like each other, but it wouldn't be, like, a continuing, like, I have to kill this guy. I have to kill this MF-er to keep my language safe.
Yeah, yeah, MF-er.
it wouldn't be that kind of thing. Mm. But you know, I don't know. I they're making a chapter two. John Wick chapter two. It's filming right now.
Oh, really?
I think it's filming right now, or it's about to start filming.
Oh, okay.
Because there's video of Keanu Reeves like training like a badass.
I saw that, but I heard that footage might be a little older, but maybe not. That could be current.
I saw
that on the internet, though.
You saw that it might not be...
Well, I saw it, and then someone said it. They thought it was from a little while ago, but...
Well, I mean, it could be older. It could be older footage that they're just releasing now as, like, another step now that they've released the date of John Wick sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's from the first movie, though.
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah. But either way, it's still kind of badass that the way he does that. And you're just
like, oh yeah,
fuck, man.
He's very good.
Right? I'm
kind of jealous.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, okay. He's like actually an action hero now.
Yeah, like I really wish I could shoot a gun as well as he does.
Yeah, it's very impressive. But yeah, so he, fuck, there's a point I was going to make about John Wick, though.
About the dog?
Nah, not about the dog. He goes through, he kills everybody. Shit, I don't remember what it was.
The gold coins?
It's something kind of like that. I really like... In that movie, how it doesn't treat the audience like an idiot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't explain the gold coins. It doesn't explain some of the world building that it does. You kind of just have to figure it out for yourself. And it's not really that complicated. You're just like, oh, the gold coins is a way that, like, this criminal underground element works.
Right, that's just currency in the underground.
Yeah, but it doesn't go out of its way to explain it to anybody. Like, it doesn't...
Because it doesn't... Yeah, exactly. It doesn't need to be explained. Like, you get it. As long as you're paying attention to the movie, like,
mm-hmm.
you get, like, that's their currency. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it was paper, whether, you know, it's just like, okay, well, that's their money.
And gold coins works beautifully. But if it was like a big budget studio movie, they'd be like, yes, I think we need to explain why they're using the gold coins and what that means in this world.
Yeah.
They'd
the balloons.
Yeah, they'd have to fit in a scene where you're just like, fuck.
The explanation.
The fact, so they do a lot of like nice shooting at the beginning. And I've skipped the beginning a bunch of times, like, up until the dog, like, right until after the dog dies, I skip.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it so many times, I'm like, I don't want to keep seeing the dog die.
Yeah, it's a little sad.
It's very sad, but it really sets you up for the rest of the movie. Like, because you're like, this guy's a bad guy. Like, he's done fucked up things. I'm sorry, effed up things. And he's done a lot of effed up s in his day.
Effed up s.
He's done a lot of effed up s. That's the episode title. Effed up s.
Effed up s. Okay.
He's done a lot of effed up s in his life, but now he's kind of settled down. And he has the dog and everything, but this MF-er kills his dog,
So then he's like, F this guy, and goes after him, and then kills every guy around him.
Yeah. Well, especially his stupid friends. Although one of the friends didn't seem that bad. The one that was, like, tried to, like, tell the guy to cool it when they're at the gas station.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed like he wasn't the worst guy.
He seemed okay.
Yeah. Is he the guy that killed while he was shaving?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So the... So he kills everybody around the dog. Fuck, I forgot where I was going with this. The other thing I really liked, though, since I can't think of my original thing, was there's that whole scene where after they storm his house and he kills everybody in his house.
The cop.
The cop shows up and he's like, "What's going on, John? Noise complaint?" Yeah. And he sees, like, all the dead bodies in the house, and he's like, you working again?
Yeah.
No, I'm just sorting some stuff out. All right, have a good night, John. They don't explain how that works at all.
No, but it's just like, no, they don't. But again, they don't have to, because it's kind of like, the cop obviously knows who he is.
Yeah, no, like, I love it. Like... Whatever.
The cop's like, you know what? I don't need to die right now.
Yeah, like whatever their relationship is, it's gonna be way better in your head than what they're gonna actually write.
Right, exactly.
Like, it could easily be that the cop's, like, wife was murdered and John Wick found the murderer and killed him. So the cop's like, you get a free pass.
Right.
Or it's just like the cop, like, John Wick pays the cop off and had paid the cop off long ago or whatever. Or something else, like, who knows? It could be, like, his brother-in-law. Like, you don't know. But right. Any of that stuff that you could come up with, they're just like, it doesn't really need explaining.
No, it doesn't. That was a great... That whole scene was phenomenal.
Yeah, but it's so well shown on screen that you're just like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the way it's executed, because sometimes you could watch that scene in a low-budget kind of shitty acted movie, and you'd be like, what the fuck is going on here? But the way they convey that, you're just like, all right, they know each other. This is, like, they have, you can sense that they have a history. And that's that kind of, like, world-building shit where you're just like, okay. Like, you also kind of know that William Dafoe trained John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the way that he kind of fights, and you're just like, oh, okay. Like, that's why he's helping him out and why he's willing to die for him. That makes sense. But they don't telegraph it to you.
No. No, but it the whole thing, like, with the cop and the you know, the way everyone seems to know who he is and the gold and everything like that, it's like, it builds... The way it does it, it like builds the universe, or it helps build like the universe that it's in. But similar to the way the universe is that not everything is on the surface. Like, it's the, you know, everything about like the way they live and their world is very like, everything is not what it seems. So it's like, it gives you the surface level. And then the true meaning's underneath, but it's never explained, and it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, you just need to know that it's there. Like, you also know that him and the owner of the Continental have a history together.
Right.
But you don't know what necessarily that history is, but he likes John, and that's all you really need to know to move the story along.
Right.
You don't need to really explain the whole connection and everything, and you don't need to lie in the dialogue like, hey, John, I really appreciate you helping me with that thing in Beirut. Like, all right, whatever.
Right.
And, like, now we kind of accept shit like that, and we're just like, all right, he helped us. Like, we accept it, but you don't really need that in a movie.
No, it doesn't. It just – you know that he's been there before. And that's enough.
Yeah. You know that they have a connection and this is what's up, and you're like, all right, this is good.
It's I'm gonna say honestly, it's probably one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. Like in the last few years, it's probably in my top 10 of like the best movies out there.
Really?
Yeah, with the way that it's executed and the storytelling ability of it, it's way up there.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you by any means. I don't know if that's I probably need to see it again before I would give it that sort of a review. But yeah,
I
did like it a lot.
I also say that with two kind of caveats on there. I also like, and I mean that in terms of also originality.
Yeah.
And in terms of ones I've seen, you know, like Mad Max was a really good movie. Mad Max Fury Road. I really liked it. But again, it is kind of based on a thing that has already existed in the world for how many years? Like, I don't see a ton of originality in that, even though it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, The Martian, I thought The Martian was great. I had read the book before, but it's based on a book. So you're kind of like, in terms of originality, it's kind of, you know. But John Wick comes out of nowhere in that. It's not based on a book. It's not based on a comic book. It's its own thing, and it's very well executed and all of that. But then I also say, out of ones that I've seen, like, I haven't seen, there's a bunch of movies I haven't seen, like, Straight Outta Compton I haven't seen.
John Wick was better.
Okay. I figured you would have seen Straight Outta Compton. I never got around to it. But, like, shit like that. Like, there are a bunch of movies I haven't seen yet, so I don't know for sure. But out of the movies that I've seen, and kind of basing it almost on originality, it's one of the best ones I've seen lately.
Yeah.
In the last few years.
So wait, John Wick definitely was not based on any source material?
Not that I can think of. I feel like I would know if it was based on a comic book.
I almost, like, for some reason I thought it was, but now I'm looking.
I'm kind of
you're right. I don't see anything.
Development. The premise of John Wick was conceived by screenwriter Derek Kolstad, who began work on a treatment about a retired contract killer coming out to seek vengeance entitled Scorn. After 1 month of work, he completed the first draft of the screenplay, and once he had addressed several issues, he pitched the script to various clients, garnering at least 3 offers. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. His screenplay was featured on the annual Blacklist for the best unproduced Hollywood scripts in 2012. I think we talked about that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
You
know what? Also, I see something just on influences. And this makes a lot of sense. Park Chan-wook. Park Chan-wook's The Vengeance Trilogy, which includes Old Boy, is apparently a big influence on that movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, that's pretty cool. That might be a little reason why I like it as well.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So, I guess that's pretty much all we need to cover about John Wick. it was good though. It was real good.
I felt like I had something to say about it.
About John Wick?
Yeah, Mr. Wick.
Like Mr. Wick himself? Like?
No, I don't know. I mean,
like Keanu?
Well, you know what? You know what was good about it with Keanu in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to say much.
Yeah.
It was very good. Because you know what? No offense, Mr. Reeves, but the less you say, the more effective you probably are.
You're right. He's a very good facial actor.
Right.
But not delivering lines, he's not as good as he is visually.
Yeah. No. It's very...
very minimal on the dialogue, which I liked. And you know, I mean, he was great in it. Just with his looks, just his actions. You know, I mean, how many lines did he really have in the whole movie? It was hardly anything. I mean, it was a little more than say like Gosling had in Drive. But
let's see
still,
if we
wasn't
hang
very
on.
Much.
Yeah, let's see if we can recreate his lines. So he had a little scene with Defoe, which I don't remember.
Mm.
He had a couple lines there. Then he goes to the gas station, and the guy's like, "Nice car." And he's like, "Thanks. How much?" And Keanu's like, "It's not for sale." And then he says something in Russian to the guy, because he says something in Russian that's like, "Everybody has a price, bitch." And he goes, I forget what he says in Russian, but it's a sweet line in Russian. Just the fact that he speaks Russian back to the guy, you're like, "Oh, shit, the guy knows that he knows Russian." He tells the dog to get up on the bed. Then let's see. So he kills the guys. The guy calls him. He buries the dog. The guy calls him. Oh, he has the scene with John Leguizamo that's like, "Is it here?"
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Vigo's son." And then the guy tells him a little story. And he's like, "I need a ride." Like, those are his only lines.
Yeah, yeah, right.
The story majorly progressed, and those are his only lines. He says, gets the ride, goes back, he's already buried the dog, breaks it up, screams a lot while he's hammering the floor to, like, his study, or his little workshop there.
Yep.
Gets the call, doesn't say anything.
Nothing.
He has a couple lines when he checks in. And he's like, "Same owners? Same owners, sir." And he's like, "All right." Talks to Ian McShane a little bit. A couple lines there. Talks
Ian
to the
McShane.
Slutty. He's the owner of the Continental.
Oh, okay.
The
guy from
Deadwood. And talks to the slutty bartender for a couple lines.
Yeah, she's all right.
Let's see. He talks to her. There's some lines in there, but you're right. He probably maybe has, out of that movie, like, maybe 200 lines? Like, 200 sentences that he speaks?
If that. That even sounds a little high.
Like, I'm just thinking there's a couple scenes where he seems to have a lot, but yeah, that might be a little high. Maybe like 80?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he has a couple speeches in there. At different points, like the part where they kind of kidnap him and they have him tied up, and he's talking and he's like, "People keep asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm back." And then he just kills everybody again. But that's pretty much his trademark.
I'm pretty sure I'm back.
He pretty much kills everybody. The only guy he doesn't kill in the movie, I realized, is, and I don't think they ever show him, but the guy that's waiting in the helicopter for the Russian to come and board the helicopter. Like, the pilot?
Yeah.
There's got to be a pilot on the helicopter.
Well, someone landed it.
Someone's sitting in the helicopter watching John Wick fight the Russian guy.
Yeah, and not getting out.
And he's just like...
Smart on his part.
Which makes me think he's just a pilot. Like, he's not like a bodyguard or anything. He's literally just a pilot.
Right.
And he's just like, "I am just a pilot.
I don't want to get into this.
I am staying out of this."
Yeah.
"I saw what happened to the rest of the guys. I'm staying the fuck out of this."
F.
I'm sorry, F. The other thing that I really like is when they push the cars into the dry dock in that sequence at the end, they don't make the cars explode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as they shouldn't.
Well, yeah, exactly, because it's super realistic, and the cars fall down, and they don't explode, and I'm so happy about that.
Right. No, I agree. That is good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everything, like, obviously, I'm trying to think, like, I don't know.
The whole, like, the way they would get hurt and everything, and he keeps going, it was a little beyond believable, but not to a ridiculous extent.
Like, the fact that he's been, like, cut open and he's taking just, like, super painkillers to get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, that probably exists.
No. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't take you out of it. Like, you're not like, oh, this is so impossible.
Yeah.
That, like, it's bad. It's just like, it's like just on the edge of believability. You're like, okay, maybe he could still be going.
Like, maybe this Hotel of Assassins exists, but I don't know. Like, it's kind of like, it's in that weird realm. I also really like about, because they don't explain the cleanup guy either that comes in.
Oh, yeah, and he's got that fat Hawaiian guy.
Yeah, and the guy that just comes in, and they're just like, dinner reservation for 12. And he just comes in and picks up the 12 bodies.
Yeah.
And he takes really good.
Coins, apparently.
Yes, because coins is the main currency, because there's no way to track him. But I like how then, like, that guy comes in. There's a lot of stuff that's set up, and I don't remember all of it right now, but there's a lot of stuff that's, like, set up early in the movie and then pays off later. And that guy is one of them. Because they do the scene with the girl that broke the hotel rules. And then she gets killed. And they all walk away from her. And as they're walking away, the Ian McShane drops a couple coins in the hand of a guy in a hat. And he does the same hat tip that he did to John Wick earlier in the movie. And you're like, oh, shit, that's the same guy. Okay, I know what's going on now. Like,
right.
There's a
but
lot.
They don't have to explain it.
Yes, they don't. Exactly. They don't have to explain it, which I love. That they don't treat the audience like an idiot. And it's so well executed that they really don't have to. They're just like, it makes sense when you watch it.
In many ways.
I felt
good after. It was like I just ate like a nice big meal.
Yeah, like a real big meal. Like a good meal, and you got a little like hand job afterwards.
Yeah, a little HJ under the table.
Yeah. Well, like you ate the meal, you sat down on the couch and you were watching like your favorite episode of Bob Rescue.
And you got an HJ then.
And you got an HJ then.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I could, do with that.
Yeah.
It would be a little weird getting, like, jerked off looking at John Taffer, though.
Okay, so maybe you were watching something else or whatever. Maybe you were watching, like a scene from Back to the Future, and it was the original Jennifer that you were getting an HJ to.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that was it.
Original Jennifer is the best Jennifer.
She really is. She is something
that
else.
That second one is, she's so ugly.
Look, Elizabeth Shue is fine. I think she's very cute. She's better as a blonde, though.
Wasn't she
Eventually also Babysitting? Yeah. And on CSI recently? Yes.
Yeah. No. Wasn't she I'm going to look it up. I don't know yet. Hold on.
I don't know what you want me to move on to. We were kind of done with that. I said HJ to original Jennifer, and you were like, okay. Original Jennifer, I want to say, was in like a weird TV show with Patrick Bateman.
Was she? I don't know.
Let's look that up, too. Lorraine, blah, 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 Jennifer Parker, Claudia Wells was her name. I want to see if I can find out. Was it Fast Times?
Fast Times, I don't know.
Fast Times. The television series remake of the hit film Fast Times at Ridgemont High. No, that was not it.
Wow, that sounds shitty.
Oh, she was on an episode of Simon and Simon. She was on an episode of Trapper John M.D.
Trapper John M.D.
Let's see. No, it wasn't any of this stuff.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
She didn't do anything for a long time. She was on Brothers TV series in 1986. And then the next thing she does is 2011, Back to the Future, The Game, Episode 3, Citizen Brown.
Wow.
Or, I'm sorry, no, in 2008 she did Still Waters Burn, and she played Laura Harper.
Oh, one of my favorite roles.
F you.
she did, she's done a few things.
She's been more active recently. She's, like, come back to the fold. And she did a few things before Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did. She was, she was in, a couple. She was in The Karate Kid.
Was it? I already moved on. Was she in...
As Allie? I don't know.
Did I say Patrick Bateman? I meant Jason Bateman.
Jason. Yeah, no, Patrick Bateman is a fictional character.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I did. Elizabeth Shue was in Hollow Man.
Yeah, she was. She was
also in City of Angels. She was uncredited as a pregnant woman.
Really?
Yeah. She was also in The Saint, which I never saw, but I don't think it was very good.
I remember watching The Saint. I think there's a point where she F's.
What's Val Kilmer?
Yeah. I think she F's Val Kilmer in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was even the plot of that movie? Was he just like did he just like kill a lot of people?
I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought she played a part in Valerie, which I would never in 100 years have guessed Valerie was the name of that show.
Valerie.
With the Hogans. But no, she was not in Valerie.
Oh, she was, okay.
She was not in.
Oh, we don't want to be spreading falsehoods out there.
Yeah, she was not in Valerie. But Jason Bateman, not Patrick Bateman, as originally thought.
Not Christian Bale.
Yes.
As a fictional character.
He was. Jason Bateman was the big star of that. Edie McClure. If you saw... Oh, she was the secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The one that lost the pencil in her hair.
Oh, yeah.
She was in that. And then Josh Taylor, who was like the dad figure, who this IMDb page isn't loading, so I don't know what the fuck he was in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what the F he was in. he's been in Days of Our Lives forever.
Really?
Let's see. Days of Our Lives, 1981 to 2016. So what is that?
What? 30, no. 30, he hasn't been in the whole time.
35 years?
No, that's not even possible.
It says 2,422 episodes of Days of Our Lives. He was.
There is no one has ever been in that many episodes of any TV show.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
No, that's not true.
He was Roman Brady, Chris Kosicek, and Roman Brady number 2. And then it says ... because I think he was in more.
He played multiple characters across 35 years.
Yes, because, okay, no. Days of Our Fucking Lives. Like, there were twins and twins of twins and whatever.
No, just no way. No one's ever been in a TV show that long. We would have heard about
I
that.
I guarantee that there is somebody that has been in Days of Our Lives more than he has.
That's insanity.
I'm trying to pull it up right now. Days of Our Lives... he might be the top one. See full cast. See the full cast here. It's gonna take like 18 years to load. Because they put me on 56K. I think he might be the top one. It says 2,424 episodes.
I'm taking a look. I don't even believe you.
Yeah, because listen by that. Him, Josh Taylor, Roman Brady, 2,424 episodes.
How is that possible?
The next one is Brian Titillo at 2,412 episodes.
How are all these people have been in it?
It's on 5 days a week. The guy that I thought would beat him was John Aniston, but he was only at 2,295 episodes. I thought he would maybe beat him out. And then there was the other guy, the guy that looks like he's one of the three tenors. Oh, here he is. Joseph Mascolo. Oh, he was only in it 1,582 episodes.
Dude, I scrolled down like 20 people, and this guy Peter Reckle, he plays Bobo.
Just Bobo.
He's been in 1,306 episodes.
It's 5 days a week for 52 weeks out of the year.
How much do these people get paid per episode? But it can't be much.
No, it's not much. But even if it's... Okay, they have to take some weeks off. So let's say they take a month off. So let's say it's 48. That's 240 episodes a year.
That's a shitload of episodes.
And then you do it for even 5 years, you're up to 1,200 episodes.
Holy shit.
It doesn't take a lot. But they definitely take time off, and they don't focus on everybody for... that amount of time.
Wow.
Because you'll go like 2 weeks without hearing about Stefano's fucking... I'm sorry, effing... effing twin.
Yeah. And then they just show up again. That.
Yeah, and then he's just like, I am here. How did you end up here?
All right, I mean, I don't really know how soap operas work.
Like here's the thing. I literally watched soap operas for like 2 weeks 1 year when I had chickenpox. When I had chickenpox, and I would just like sit there and for some reason watch it. No, I didn't have chickenpox. Shit, no, my sister had chickenpox over the summer, and I would like just sit and keep her company, and she would watch the soap operas. That's what
sounds,
it was.
Sounds miserable.
So, well, I actually like my sister. I'm just saying. But that's how I like was first introduced to it, and ever since then, like that 2 weeks has like been burned in my brain. So I kind of have an idea of how it works. And like every once in a while, I'll be sitting in like a doctor's office or something, and they'll have one on in the middle of the day. And I'll be oh, that guy's still on the show? Yeah. I haven't seen this guy in 20 years, but he's still here. And you're just like, oh, okay. And you just kind of check in with him, and you're like, oh, okay. Huh. And you watch it for a few minutes, and you're like, oh, my God. But they're going downhill.
They're going downhill?
Yeah, soap operas. They're on their last legs. A bunch of them have been canceled in the last, like, 10 years.
People
5 years maybe.
They have a little bit better shit to do with their lives. Well, yeah. They probably don't. I don't know why I'm saying that.
What's his face? Jimmy Franco was on one.
James?
He lets me call him Jimmy, but he was on General Hospital. His character name was Franco.
It was Franco?
Yeah. He was on 54 episodes.
What?
See, it adds up real quick.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Man, John Wick to General Hospital in 50 minutes.
Oh, only us. Am I right?
Could do it.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me close out on this. I have a little, very short news, little article for you.
All right.
Let's see. Police are asking for public's help in finding a driver who took off in a van resembling Scooby-Doo's Mystery Machine in Reading.
I heard about this.
They chased the minivan on Sunday with a driver going 100 miles per hour and blowing through red lights. Then the driver, 51-year-old Sharon Truman, gave police the slip, hopping out of the Mystery Machine and running off. According to this article, Truman remains at large.
I just don't know how the hell she got away. Like,
maybe she pulled. Here's the thing: her mugshot picture, which I guess exists from a previous arrest,
right?
Oh yeah, here's an article that says a little bit more. Probation officer with Shasta County Probation contacted Reading Police Department. home of dentures, Shasta County. Probation contacted Reading Police Department regarding Sharon K. Truman. Or, I'm sorry, Turman. Not Truman. Turman. 51. Wanted for a probation violation. So she had been arrested before. So that's her mugshot. It looks like the kind of face that you could pull off and reveal a younger face that would be the only other person in the cartoon.
Uh-huh.
So I can see how she got away. according to police, Turman was found operating the 1994. We'll say that again.
She got this thing up to 100 miles an hour?
Yes. 1994 Chrysler minivan.
Wow.
Painted teal and green in the area of California Street and Street. When officers tried to conduct a traffic stop, Turman took off in the van, said police. A pursuit began as Turman sped through South Market Street, said police. The chase came to a stop near Buenaventura and Highway 273, but Turman continued to speed southbound on Highway 273, said police. According to police, I like how they start and end every sentence with "according to police."
Yeah, well, according said to police, police.
Said police. According to police, said police. According to police, Turman drove through an intersection against a red light, hitting four other vehicles. She got that from the movies. That's what you always do in the movies. You stop, and then as soon as the light turned red, you floor it because the guy following you can't follow you through the red light.
That's true. So the police will get stuck.
Yeah, because they're like, oh no, we can't endanger people and we don't have sirens or anything to warn them that we are the police.
Right.
The California Highway Patrol.
Oh, fucking Eric Estrada.
helicopter later located the van at Hill Drive, just north of Anderson. Officer said Sherman then continued the chase through the city of Anderson and onto Interstate 5 at speeds over 100 miles an hour. I'm with you. I don't understand how a 94 Chrysler minivan. I had a 92 Mercury Sable. The speedometer didn't go over 80.
You know what? I'm going to say this. This woman, although obviously a maniac, I think she's taken very good care of that vehicle.
She's taken excellent care. She has also probably put like a nitrous thing in there. Like,
I mean, we're talking this vehicle is what, 22 years old?
Like, oh, yeah.
She keeps up with the oil changes.
She clearly has a button hidden in the Mystery Machine that she flips open and pushes
Men in
it
Black
to give it a little gas.
Yeah, okay. Like she's in the tunnel.
Yeah. Yes, thank you for the for the very accurate Men in Black reference.
Yeah.
While the is somebody with her or they don't say, so there's nobody going.
I never got the impression there was anyone with her.
Yeah, there's no Will Smith. She's just very stone-faced Tommy Lee Jones just going through the tunnel, singing along to that country bullshit.
I believe it was Elvis.
Was it Elvis?
I don't know, because doesn't Will Smith make a comment about Elvis?
I thought it was like a country song.
I think he says, well, Elvis did some country stuff.
Maybe it's one of those country crossovers then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was from, like, Mississippi.
Yeah, he also did, like, a lot of stuff where he ripped off...
Black,
like,
people?
Yeah. let's see. Turman continued on Highway 36 westbound, where she was spotted by the California Highway Patrol helicopter. Abandoning her vehicle, said officers. Turman's current whereabouts are unknown. She's wanted by the Redding Police Department, as well as Shasta County Probation.
They know who she
Anyone with information. Shh. Anyone with information regarding the whereabouts of Sharon K. Turman is encouraged to contact the Redding Police Department. Here's the number: 530-225-4200.
If that was a John Walsh impersonation,
this is
it
a public.
Shitty.
No, it wasn't. But I'm just letting everyone know. Or secret witness of Shasta County at 530-243-2319. If you know where she's at, give them a call. But there's a chance that she is just some kind of, like, crotchety old man that wants something and is wearing, like, a mask of this woman.
Yeah, that's true.
That she will rip off at the end of this.
At the end.
Is there
for the big reveal?
Here's the thing. There's no other person listed in this news article. Because if there was, I would say that that was the real identity of Turman.
Yeah.
Because there's only one other person in every episode.
Right.
There, it's always like, Jinkies, it's Mr. Krautchenbacher. Who's the one man still alive running this haunted house? And you're like,
he's
oh.
He's definitely a German.
Yeah. It's this one guy. I'm surprised we didn't put this together before, but the ghost is actually him.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're not that bright.
It's always the one guy. So, unfortunately, there's no other person. Oh, wait. Here's... This is a... I clicked on another random article. Comicbookresources.com wrote this little line, which I'm going to share with you. Turman's whereabouts are unknown. However, if and when she is apprehended, it's a safe bet she'll be revealed to be someone else. I'm going with Stuart Weatherby in disguise. Stuart Weatherby being a guy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I gathered that.
Yeah. So,
ho, ho, ho.
Nice little pull from there.
Yeah. Ho,
yes, yes, yes. I like how in their article, Stuart Weatherby is a link on Wikipedia that I can... a link to... Or, I'm sorry, it wasn't to Wikipedia. No, it was Scoobipedia? What was it? ScoobyDooWiki.com.
ScoobyDooWiki. Oh,
or also
God.
Called Scoobypedia.
That should be on the... on the deep web.
Yeah, Scoobypedia on the deep web. Yeah. I think that's good. Is that?
I think that'll be good,
we
too.
We covered a lot of ground. Mostly a lot of John Wick, which was good, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other stuff.
This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodela. Remember, everyone, no regrets, and they're not dead until you shoot them in the head. Thank you for listening to the But You're Wrong podcast. If you like what you hear, check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. You can also check us on Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. And if you have any grievances to air, be sure to email them to bywpodcast@gmail.com.
Do you like learning things an hour and a half at a time?
Of course.
I know I do, and I'm not smart enough to read a book.
Neither am I.
Good thing there's the documentary show to let me know which documentaries I should be watching.
Wow. Wait, do they discuss it too?
They do. So, and they get into all kinds of weird stories that are sometimes unrelated completely.
So I may not even have to watch the documentary. I could just listen to the show. And if my interest is piqued, then I'll spend an hour and a half. This is going to save me so much time.
It will save you time, energy, and money because they'll tell you where you can find it.
How would I find the show, though?
The easiest way is if you have iTunes, you can just search the documentary show, or you can always go to theactualkeith.com, and there's a beautiful website that will easily display all of the episodes for you.
That's amazing. Who hosts such an amazing show?
It's two gentlemen. One, John Oldfield. Two, Keith Bodela, the podcasters on the But You're Wrong Network.
Wow. Wait, those are our names.
Well, it's you and me.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. I don't even have to listen since I'm doing the show.
I'm listening right now.
This is going to save me so much time. Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Keith.